Good morning, brothers and sisters. How are we doing this morning? We're just doing okay. We're doing blessed. Amen. Glad to see all of you. Glad that you guys can make it here today. And on behalf of Alpha and Omega, I'd like to extend another happy Father's Day to all of you that are here today. All you fathers and, well, those who are future fathers, you will get your blessing later on. But for right now, let us open, I think, Children to the Children's Church, we can send to the Children's Church. And then those of us that are here today, let's open up our Bible once again to the book of Luke, in which we will begin God's message and God's word for today. So how are we doing this morning? Nice gloomy morning, right, in Southern California. But here in Southern California, it's hot. It's a gloomy hot. But we thank our Lord for another glorious day. Book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 39. And you might say, God, that's an awfully strange verse for Father's Day. But we'll see how the Lord wants to talk to us this morning. So Luke 6, chapter 39, the Word of God reads like this. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Then he asks the question, will they both not fall into a pit? So the parable says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not fall into a pit? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious day, Lord, that we find ourselves here first. First of all, Lord, honoring you as our Heavenly Father, Lord, one from which we receive a perfect example of how the love of a father should also be extended and imitated by us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving us also the privilege, Lord, to become these godly men, these priests of the home, O Lord. And we ask you eternally also, Lord, that you give us the wisdom to help us lead not only our wives and our home, but our children, Father, to impact future generations. We thank you, Father, for this day, for the word that you put into us, Lord. For we must realize, Lord, that whenever we put ourselves in your hands, O Lord, we become these devastating weapons, O Lord, for your kingdom, for your honor and your glory, Lord. We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So today is Father's Day, right? And so I hope that if your earthly father is here, I hope that today you just woke up and just gave him one of these, the emoticons or the little emotion, little gizmos now pretty much says it, right? I mean, we take a full advantage of a picture says 1,000 words, right? So we send two of those pictures. That's like, wow, that's like a whole volume, right? 2,000 words. That's like an essay, right? For those of you college kids. We are to take this moment and set it aside and which we honor and give reverence to, not reverence, but we honor our parents, our fathers, for being the men, the godly men that wants us to be. I think there's such a crisis in the world today where we as men are losing the acknowledgement, the ability to become these godly men that God has intended us to be. And because we are losing this God-given ability or this knowledge of who we are in Christ, who we are in God, that eventually that loss of manliness or that loss of direction is also impacting future generations. So we need to understand today, as we have some of us old timers versus those newbies that are just starting out, we all need to understand who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ as fathers, right? Because there's a tremendous difference, right? So a father's influence is important to a child's development into their happy years, to have children that are well adjusted, to make them also not only well adjusted, but make them productive adults. That really starts out in the home and the example that we as fathers are providing to our children. Although fatherhood is not motherhood, okay? Let's not confuse this. Fatherhood is one thing, motherhood is another. It is an active, not passive activity. That means that we as fathers, we are to continually be showing, demonstrating, and active and be part of our children's life. Godly fathers are involved in their children's lives and are always looking out for their best interest. I mean, that is who we are. right? That is who we are. We are to be involved in our children's life. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of parents today, or a lot of fathers today, think that since you're the provider, all you do is put food on the table and give them a place where they sleep. They've done their duties, but that's not it. I mean, we as fathers need to be involved in our children's lives, and so that we can become part of their lives and not just the father, the dad, that just, you know, gives us the food and the table and shelter. That's not what we are intended to be. At times, dads need to make hard choices and realize the popular decisions are not always the best decisions, even if that means going against the culture, the trends, or the practices. And that means that as a dad and as a loving father, sometimes we have to show our children what is right and what is not. See, if we don't take a stand, if we don't say no, right? If we don't say no, then how will our children ever know what is right and what is wrong? I mean, a lot of parents and a lot of fathers out there don't like to say no. They want the mother to say no so that she could be the bad person and the dad could be the good person and the children could love them. Well, that's not the case. I mean, I said no quite a few times in my life to my kids. A lot of times. So hence the title with honor that I have for my grandkids is no no, right? Now, that's an Italian joke, because no no just means grandparent in Italian, granddad, grandfather. But I go, that is so right, because they're going to hear from me a lot of no and no, right? But kids need that. They need that. Because it's not yes, yes. A lot of people think that loving your child, a lot of fathers think that by giving to them whatever they want, you're actually giving your love, and that is not right. You are misleading these children in your children in the wrong path. So as godly fathers, we need to be able to discern, to be able then to develop our children's hearts, their souls, and their minds. So that comes along with a greater responsibility. Yet, in order for children to grow into these responsible adults, they need a stable and reliable role model. Okay, here's where it comes down to us. See, godly fathers are consistent in how they meet the life's challenges. And that's one of the things that as fathers, we need to provide, that consistency. Okay, that consistency. We need to be consistent. Pardon the expression, flaky fathers, right? Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no. The children won't know what is right and what is wrong. You can't even make that decision. You're going yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And so therefore, we need to be consistent in order to help them mature and grow. And then when life throws their little pebbles on the road or rocks, and for some of you, boulders on your path, on your life, they will be able to then overcome these obstacles that their life has. How? Because of that consistent role model that you have been. If you are not that consistent role model, they will stumble along the way. And of course, as fathers, loving our children so, we wouldn't want them to stumble along the way. So irresponsible people run away from problems, right? Unreliable fathers make excuses for their inconsistent conduct, and they never lead a life of integrity. So that's the outcome of not being able to lead this, to be this consistent role model that our children need. Godly fathers are of proven character. I mean, they are faithful to their calling of being a father and are reliable to those that need them. When you are a father, you know you're a father. That is no longer you anymore. Now there's a little one that's looking up to you. There is somebody who is now depending on you. There is someone who is now following you. I mean, you look at the little boys right now, and you see the little boys, they look, they're a miniature image of the big boy, right? The father. And whatever they do, whatever you do is whatever they begin to do, and they begin to emulate that, and they begin to imitate that. And if you're not conscious of this is going on, then you're leading your child down the wrong path. You need to be faithful to the calling that God has given you to become a good father. I mean, God has given us an example in His Word how to become a good father, a good and faithful father. So that privilege, because it is a privilege, I know some people out there that these unloving fathers see it as a curse, But we as godly men need to see our kids as a privilege that God has given to us to now take care of these little ones and to help them create a godly character that will be for God's kingdom. So it's a privilege whenever we see it that way. So fathers of today, there's a challenge that we must meet. We must think of future generations of our children. We have to stop thinking of the now, and the now is only me. You have to now begin to think, we now have to begin to think of future generations, the one that God has entrusted you with, that is now living inside your home, that is looking at everything that you do, and imitating your life the way you're setting yourself in. And if you are not providing that godly example now, then you are not thinking of your future for your children. Again, you know, you've seen the commercials because they put it out there in commercials. Up until 7 years, the little one is a sponge. Everything. They're taking in everything. And a lot of us think that, no, when they're 12, 13, 14, when they actually begin to be logical and rationalize with me, then I'll teach them. Wrong. Wrong. It's already too late. They've developed their character. They've developed already kind of a little where they want to go. They're bent and when, how they're going to be living their lives. So we are to train and raise our children when they are young, when they are brand new. I mean, a lot of people, you've heard it also say, the studies have proven that music in the womb, you know, helps develop the intelligence of a child. I mean, in the womb. That's how young we begin training our kids, in the womb. Then when they're out, you continue that godly training, right? It starts when they are young. So the Word of God says so that when they're old, they will not depart from their ways. So it's giving them some sort of stability. It's giving them that reliance. It's giving them that direction. And that starts when they are young. So the first misunderstanding that we have to get rid of is that training begins when they're able to talk or when they're able to understand me. Wrong. They start now, even when they're not verbal enough to express it. So here's another one. Our children need attentive and reliable fathers today to be their role models, and in doing so, impact future generations of our children. So it's, again, the reliability, the father always being there, the father always looking out for his little ones, and to be those excellent role models, right? Now, yes, we are not perfect, but you know what? Our striving to be perfect actually makes us better people, right? Because we will never be perfect until the day we're all up in heaven. Then that's when perfection comes in. But if you are constantly striving to be perfect, if you are constantly striving for that perfect role model of Jesus Christ, believe me, you will be a much better father, a much better person, right? So that is what we're aiming at. A newspaper columnist, Abigail Van Burns, wrote, "If you want your children to keep their feet on the ground, put some responsibility on their shoulders. Responsibility isn't a curse. It's a blessing." Okay, a lot of people say, you know, the kids are just right there watching TV, and that's all they do. I love that commercial, right? That's all they're doing. They're just watching TV, and then you're saying there's a trash to be picked up, there's a yard to be mowed, there's things to be done around the house, and the poor dad comes in late at night, and what are you kids doing? I mean, you have a healthy, nice 16, 17-year-old young man who can take out the trash, who can mow the lawn, who can pick up these heavy things and do these things. These are called chores and responsibilities. And we kind of think, oh, no, they're just kids. They won't know how to do it. You got to show them how to do it. How else will they learn? How and when will they learn if we don't take the time to actually show them? With young ladies, exactly the same thing. I mean, you got to show them how to do it. Oh, they should know. No, 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 no. Did you ever teach them? No. If you never taught them, then don't assume that they know. And if they do know, then by all means, it's just confirmation that they're going to be receiving. But we have to take that time. We have to invest the time in order for them to do that and give responsibilities to your children. It is not a bad word. It's a good and positive word that begins to define who they are, character, and it begins to develop them also as individuals. Another writer says, Booker T. Washington said, "Few things help an individual more than to place responsibility upon him and to let him know that you trust him. See, placing responsibility is not just a task that you have to do this, you have to do that. You're actually doing that because you trust that person. And when your son or your daughter sees that you have done this and that you are actually trusting them, then it's a big thing to do. I remember the first time when I actually went to men's camp. Luigi was just a youngster back then. And I took him off to the side and I said, look, when I'm gone, you're the man of this house. You're going to take care of your mom. You're going to take care of your brothers and sisters. That means don't slap them around. He never did. Don't push them around. Right? Don't, because, you know, the first thing that goes into, I'm the man of the house, you know, all of a sudden. No. It comes with big responsibility. So I pulled him off and I told him this. And then I told her, my wife later on, how did he do? Yes. He was very nervous. Of course, Luigi's always very nervous. He's nervous of this and doing that, and make sure this was done and all and everything that he needed. And I go, did he help you? Yes, he helped me out and all that. So it's good responsibility that they need to be aware of. Now, reality is sad because many men today are not consistent in their fatherly duties and neglect to see the importance of their role as a father themselves. See, and this is what I was saying. Many of us, or many of the fathers today, and this is partly because of how culture is impacting us now, is that we live the moment and we live life for ourselves. A lot of men don't want to get married. A lot of men don't want to have children. Why? Because they're too busy with themselves, right? They're too busy with themselves. And so men today, we are not consistent in what a father should be, much less what a father should be doing. What are the responsibilities that we should be doing? And therefore, we don't see that being a father is an important thing that we must be doing. It's an important job that we have to be doing. So if we don't see it, if we don't assume it, then how can we also demonstrate to our kids? So if this is the case, I mean, you just think of it. I mean, there's going to be a terrible impact on the lives of the children. A father that doesn't have or doesn't own up to the responsibilities that he has as a father, it's going to impact your kids at a great scale. It's going to be terrible for future generations. And then since this little one didn't receive anything, guess what's going to happen to your grandkids? Nothing. Okay? And so that's what the impact is. And it starts with us today, right? As the verse said, and here's where I picked up the verse, can the blind lead the blind? I mean, can the person that's not doing what they are supposed to be doing show to somebody else what to do? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We cannot show somebody something that we are not practicing or that we don't know. How? Because we weren't shown. So it is our responsibility, again, as a father, to begin to know how we should act, what we should be teaching, what we should be doing in our home with God so that our children can begin to see that. If we don't provide that, then where are we headed, right? And we're talking future generations. I mean, I see my grandkids now, and a lot of the things that we did with our kids, they're showing to them as well, right? And then they're adding on top of that, which is the best part. Right? Which is the best part because it just keeps growing. It keeps things augmenting. It just, the goodness just keeps going and also flowing. So this is where we need to be now. Will these children be able to grow up and be godly examples of future generations? Not if they're not getting the right example. Right? Not if they're not being led right. They will not be there for future generations. And hence, the future generations will then be missing all of this. So fathers need to be reinstated to the level of importance that God intended for them. Okay? We need to know who we are in the hands of God. Okay? And that's why I entitled Mother's Day that the mothers are a devastating weapon in the hands of God. But you know what? It's not only the mothers. We say, well, you're the devastating weapon, the pastor said, so you rear them. Here, they're your responsibility. Here, you take care of them. Absolutely not. Today, I'm saying that fathers, we are also a devastating weapon in the hands of God. Okay? Because you see where the devastation comes, right? In your future generations. If we don't do something now, it's going to devastate all future generations. They're going to be impacted to the level where God is not going to be a common word around the house, right? This is going to be one of those scarce things that people mention, much less even have any type of relationship with God. So it starts with now. We need to understand that the problem that's currently in the uprise. It's constantly being said out there in the world. It's constantly being doing that. You take a look at all the TV shows that are being put out there. And the father figure, what role does the father figure play? It's not a very positive one. You take a look, the one who's in charge is the woman who is taking the charge. It's the woman who is there. In certain sitcoms, the father is not even there. The mother is raising the kids. So it's really, and we play and we see all these shows like it's a joke and it's funny, but it is a subliminal message that's put out there to everybody to say, fathers are not important or no, they're not needed. You can raise your kids, you can now have a kid without a father, and then so you just do whatever you want to do. And that's the role that's propagated out there in society, in the culture. Our kids are seeing it, we're seeing it, I'm seeing it, right? And this is what they're feeding in. So here's where God says to you, godly men, you got to step up and know what's going on. You got to see what your children, and that's why you need to be part of your children's life and know what's being said to them. So we need to understand that this problem is currently what's happening here in America. American morality and spiritual integrity are at an all-time low because of the decline, the value that's being placed on the role of the father in today's society. Okay? And it's being downplayed. It's being downplayed. Now men are not seen as the leaders and the providers. Men are now seen as the aggressors, the ones who are creating violence and the one that we're being placed or categorized in a negative role versus being those men that are there to provide guidance and instructions for our kids. Right? So here's where society is saying. So fathers, if we're failing to invest in our children, then we're leading them directly down that proverbial pit from which they may not come back. So you don't do your job as a father, then guess what? Don't expect godly children. Okay? Don't expect that. But I go to church, but no. It's not just a church. What do you do at home? Okay, that's where it comes. What do you do at home?
Well, I bring them to church every Sunday. You know, whenever they want to, I bring them there.
That's not what it's all about, right? Church is part and it should form part of their lives. But what happens at home? That's the important part. And there at that home, here at church, I'm the pastor. At your house, you're the pastor of the house. You are the one that's now providing what I'm providing to you, instructions and guidance in the Word of God. It is your responsibility at home to do the same thing. So that's where we're failing. And that's where we need to step up. So, given all that introduction, let us start now in today's message. Yes. So let me start off by saying, there's some people go, wow. So let me start out by saying that this problem isn't new, right? This is not a new problem. I mean, it's been going on for generations and generations because the enemy, the devil, wants to attack the homes, wants to dismantle them. So it didn't just start out here in America in the 21st century. This has been going back to biblical times, biblical times. And so today I want to bring to you some three examples of what at the very overall big picture of fathers are. Right. So these three types of fathers at a high level, I think, are where we can pretty much just sink in given the time limitations. So but I think that the most dangerous and most hurtful example of a father we can find is this one here. I was going to say number one father, but no, it's the first bad example of a father. I call it the PBA father. Okay? And the PBA stands for present but absent. Okay. Present but absent. This father is the one who is present at the home, but is absent from the lives of the children, failing to provide them direction. Right? A lot of people say, well, I'm married. We've been married for 30 years. There's a husband there, you know, in that couch there. I mean, you can just see them there, but no interaction with the kids. Not part of their lives. Not know what is going on in their lives, not even knowing what's going on with any problems, any situations. That's what mom is for. And so they give it over to mom. But so the father is there at the home, but he is really, truly absent. Remember the story I said about the dog and the mom and or the dad and, you know, Buddy, the child, the kid's name was Buddy and never mind. And no, sorry. They tell him that the Buddy died, and he said actually the dad had died, you know, and the kid thought it was the dog that died. Oh, it's just dad. You know. So it's terrible to see that it's just dad. You know, he's never been here anyway, so if he's not here for this, then what's the point? Doesn't matter, doesn't impact me. Mom has always been there for me. See, and that's sad to say as a father where your child can do this. Now, in the book of Samuel, chapter 13 through 18, these five chapters talks about the story of King David and Absalom. Absalom was his first son. But King David, also had other children with other women, other wives. So his oldest son was Absalom. And the issue came about that Absalom had a sister called Tamar, right? And Absalom and his sister there, he also had a half-brother called Amnon. And then it got to the point where Amnon fell in love with his half-sister or stepsister, Tamar. Okay, so he loved her, but he got to the point of actually raping her, right? Absalom found out about his half-brother raping Tamar, and that he didn't, and went to the dad, and dad didn't do anything about it. I mean, this happens in his present, but absent, want no relationship with them. Got to the point where Absalom then took matters into his own hands. He says, well, if my dad's not going to do anything about that, I'm surely going to do something about it. And he ended up killing his half-brother, Amnon. So and so that's where it leads to when things do not get resolved. When the father is there but really isn't taking an active role in this life, then that's what happens. It got to the point also of Absalom then now wanting to do a conspiracy to then kill his father because he now wanted to be king of Israel, right? And so he got to that point. Eventually, the whole story lays out. Absalom ended up being killed in war, fleeing his father, right? But his general killed him, and then now he's dead there. Now, was all this necessary? Absolutely not. I mean, King David never reproved, never reprimanded, or even tried to rule his home with justice. I mean, he may have been the great and fearless warrior. He may have been this great military leader, a wise and righteous king. But as an example of a father who governed his home with wisdom, well, there's a lot to be desired there. In fact, he actually gives us a good example of what not to do to bring up our children. Okay, so look at David. But don't do what he did as far as raising his kids. In other words, don't ignore your children. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5 says, children are heritage from the Lord. Okay? Children are heritage from the Lord, offsprings a reward for him, right? Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Basically, it's saying, blessed is the man who has this quiver, the container where all the arrows are. If you have many of these kids, it's a blessing to you. He says, but just like an archer, just like an arrow, I mean, the arrow doesn't just pop out of the container and falls into the bow and then just shoots itself. Okay? It doesn't. He says, you as the warrior have to get the arrow, have to put them, and have to guide them in the path that they are to go. And when they are guided in the right path, then you let them go. And then the arrow goes. That's the analogy, that's the content that we get from Psalm 127. That we as fathers have to provide that direction to our children, such like a warrior pulls out an arrow and points them in the right path. And when he sees down the right path, then he lets go of the arrow, and then the arrow goes straight, right? So when the arrow is pointed correctly, that's what we must do. So as the parent who is absent from the home will not do that. The second one is the ABS father, right? ABS for absent, but it's the adult boy syndrome, okay? So yes, it's talking about the father, also called the Peter Pan complex, right? Is the one that says, I don't want to grow up. That's this father. This father is the one that says, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to be a dad. It's too much responsibility. I don't want to. Why? Because I just want to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm having way too much fun here to now be dragged down, put a stop on whatever, everything that I want to do. This is the adult boy syndrome, right? It's an adult, but his whole behavior, his whole feelings are that of a boy, right? Somebody who just still wants to have fun. So in the article in fatherhood.org, it entitled the article, "The Proof is In. Father Absence Harms Children." Big revelation, right? But the article went to say that there is a father absence crisis in America, and this was a survey that was done in 2017. It said, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children, more than one in four, live without a father in the home. Consequently, there is a father factor. There is a father factor in nearly all social ills facing America today. Meaning that because the father is not there, your children now are facing this great ill. The presence of the father is absolutely necessary in the home. Now, I value and I praise God for those women, those godly men in who stepped up to the role when the father decided to step out of the home. Okay? And I give them, I praise them because they have managed to take on this responsibility. Should they? No, they shouldn't. Because a father provides certain part of the home is filled by certain aspects or certain blessings that a father brings, and the mother has her own to add to this. Together they make a home. Half doesn't make the whole. Right? So even though the other half is trying to compensate, it's still not the whole. So you will do that. So somehow these men don't seem to realize the importance that a father plays in the lives of the children. Here's another example of where the absence of a man and it impacts the child. So I'm going to read this to you. And it says, the child was born in November 12, 1934, born to 16-year-old Kathleen Maddox. He was entered into the ledgers as No Name Maddox. He was not given a name. He was just No Name Maddox. He was a classic abused child left by his mother for days during the first years of his life. In 1939, his mother was arrested for armed robbery and sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. When she returned, No Name was 8 years old. His life became a long line of rundown hotels and brutal uncles who came to live with his mother and drank heavily. When he was 12, his mother tried to place him in a foster home. But since one wasn't available, he was sent to Gibault Home for Boys in Indiana. It was the first in a long line of progressively more restrictive institutions. After 10 months of Gibault, he ran away from his mother. But his mother rejected him. Then he drifted into a life of crime. At 13, he was caught for armed robbery and sentenced to an institution from which he escaped. At 16, he had a long series of crimes under his belt. Finally, in federal prison, he was homosexually attacked and raped. At 17, he pressed a razor blade against a fellow's inmate throat and sodomized him. He was transferred again and again and classified as dangerous with a long record of violent activity. Finally, at the age of 33, he was released from Terminal Island Prison in California against his wishes. He had become obsessed with Satanism. He told his jailers that prison was his only home. No Name Maddox is better known as Charles Manson. Somebody's tender baby who became a monster. Of course, this is the worst case scenario, but where was the father? In doing the research, turns to find out that when Kathleen told him that she was expecting, he kind of said, well, you know what? I'm going to go to the liquor store here to get something. Obviously, he couldn't find the liquor store and he couldn't find what he was getting, so he was still searching, right? Never came back, right? The mom got depressed, and then that's where she began her drinking and all of that. Totally, totally. Absent father from the home, which led to a PBS or the present but absent, the PBA mom, right? She was there, but she wasn't there. right? So, and then who suffered here? Who suffered? The child. Became Charles Manson, cult leader, accused for 7 homicides in the 1960s. I mean, just involved with Satanism. I mean, just everything. Everything went wrong. Where was the father? Absent again. Absent from the child's life. This is why we as men are to find courage and strong and be strong in the Lord to seek His direction. If God is not leading your life, you will not be leading your children. You will not be able to lead yours. Blind cannot lead the blind. Okay? If God is not leading your life, you will not be able to lead yours. Okay, so we need that direction. And where are we to find our direction, brothers? Word of God. Word of God. Here's where our direction comes from. This is the light into our path. This will guide us. This is what we will show them. This is what will take us down the wrong path. And then at this, in turn, I will then be able to lead my child down this path as well. But if we're not reading this book, where are you headed? You're looking for that store at the corner of God knows where, leading down that no way path, you know, that it'll bring you back no time. So we need to be aware of that. Now, the last one, and this is really where we as godly men is where we're getting, we become these devastating weapons in the hands of God, is the real, and I put in parentheses, godly father, the real father. The father who is in the home, who is part of the children's life, who is a follower of God, who looks towards the Bible for his direction so that he may then provide the direction. The dad that you can actually come to, take his hand, hug him, kiss him, and do that. That's the real dad. That's the godly dad. See, real fathers are those that take responsibility for their actions and take care of the financial and their spiritual and emotional well-being of their homes. This is what truly being a provider is all about. It's not just handing over the check to the wife or to the woman. It's actually somebody who is going to see not only the financial part of it, but the spiritual need for the child. Somebody who's going to look at the emotional well-being of the child. That's what truly being a provider is all about. Real fathers serve God, and there is no shame in that. Real fathers serve God, and again, there is no shame in that. We are to acknowledge that God is God. We are His instruments. We are to serve Him. We are to bow down to Him. We are, if need to, cry to Him. And if your son saw you crying, praise the Lord. But he saw you crying to God. If he saw you praying, he saw you praying to God. If he saw you on your knees, he saw you on your knees for God. That's the example that our kids need to see. That is the example of a real father. Real fathers are men of action. They're not the ones who are just lazy, just kicking around, and just with the remote control here, you know? I mean, like here, the arrows are even gone because you use it so much. It's like it's already gone. No, these are men of action. If something needs to get done, they get up and do it. Right? They need to get up and do it. Real fathers prepare for their children for adulthood. This is a father who is looking for the well-being of their child and looking into the future. I say, okay, well, my son, when they started talking, wants to be this. Okay, let me invest time and help him. Help him. Don't do stuff for him. Don't, because you'll handicap the person, the child, but rather assist them. Let them find their own ways, but they're under your guidance. Right? Let them grow, but they're under your protection. That's what God does to us. Right? God doesn't make us robots. Right? But yet he allows us to do things, but we're always under the direction. We're always under these, call them godly spiritual borders where we are going, that when we bump up against it, he bumps us right back into place. He says, get back in there now. You know, and he keeps us moving and he keeps us going. That's what we are to do for our children and guide them into adulthood. Real fathers take responsibility. Part of being a father is becoming responsible. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. It comes right along with it. You cannot be, excuse me again, flaky fathers and be responsible. We will impact your children the wrong way. See, these are a few characteristics of what a godly father or a real father is. And we're not there. We need to strive for that. Okay, we need. This is who we're headed for. This is who we are supposed to be. And real fathers are reliable. You can always count on dad. Because you know dad is always there. Right? We can always count on God. Because God is always there. Okay? So that forms that reliability. That forms that trust. It sets the whole precedence into your life. Knowing that dad is always there. That God is always there. So in this last part, of course, as you saw my many acronyms and my many, a lot of things, I like them. I'm sorry. You're going to get another one right now. Godly fathers are, the F stands for faithful. Okay? So they are first faithful to God and trust God with their whole heart, soul, and mind. Godly fathers believe in God's promises. That God will preserve their families and that our good Lord will provide their families everything needed for salvation. That's what we as fathers stand for. We are faithful in God. We trust God. We know that God is always there. Joshua 24:15 says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Because why? Because I trust in Him. And because I trust in God, my direction, my leading, it's all going to be based according to this. Because I want my wife to also trust in the Lord. I want my children to also trust in the Lord. And if that's what I want, that's what I have to do. The second one, A, stands for action. Godly fathers are men of action. Most dads like to watch their sports on television, but some have few hobbies and engage in them whenever they have some downtime. Godly fathers don't just sit there. They spring into action when the toilets overflow, when the garbage disposal breaks down, or when something important around the house needs fixing. Godly dads know how to get things done. They solve problems and are always rise to the occasion. They always are doing something, right? It always needs to get done. Godly fathers are teachers. Okay? Godly fathers are teachers. They are teachers and prepare their children to enter into adulthood and face those tough and situations of the world around them. This means that fathers give their children survival skills. Okay, that's going to help them transform, you know, them to transform them into successful adults as they grow up. Ephesians 6:4 states, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Teach them. Teach them. Bring them up. Raise them up. Here, Paul is cautioning fathers not to criticize their children, but instead focus on teaching them with the same love and understanding that our Lord used in teaching his disciples and us. Godly fathers bring our hope, offer hope to their families. They are a source of hope and inspiration for their families. Dads are the family's pillar and strength, and they are the ones that tell us the things that will be all, and that everything will be all right when tough times are around the corner. Dad is always providing that support structure. It's all right. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Even though he might be shaking, but he says, don't worry, but gives the family hope. As the home spiritual leader, godly fathers take an active part in the children's spiritual development. Okay? Example. God's impressions are important and godly fathers are positive role models to their families. Okay? We must be those godly men. We have to set an example of godly fathers. We have to set an example how to live moral lives. Stop the lying. Okay, stop the lying. You're lying, your kids will become liars. We have to treat others with respect and with dignity so that your children can see that and then they grow up treating others as with respect and dignity. We are the role models. Fathers, you are the role models. Live up to it. Okay? And then lastly, godly fathers are reliable. Can always count on dad. Can always count on him, right? Godly fathers are reliable, responsible, and consistent. They work hard to bring home the bacon, right? And provide to their family their needs. Godly fathers are also helpful in a time of crisis. See, we can find a whole bunch of definitions. I mean, and we can just go on and on and on, but I only have 3 more minutes left here, right? I know I'm limited. But here's some of the skills. Here are some of the tasks, the blessings that God has given to us as fathers to become these men where we will impact not only this generation, but future generations. Your legacy is being built on you and what you're doing today. Okay? Because whether that legacy is good or that legacy is bad, you're gonna pass down something to your kids. Whether it's active and proactive or lazy and bummish, that's your legacy. And there is nobody to blame but who started it, right? Us. So fathers, this is the reason why you are a devastating weapon in the hands of God. And we have to realize that. Okay, this weapon, you're a weapon in the hands of God. The ability to impact generations by allowing them yourselves to be used by God, okay, has no bounds. Has no bounds. Look at all the potential that God has placed in your hands and how much more you can give to your children. So lead your child down the right path by setting a godly example of a real father, right? Become that real father if you're not. Work towards that. Lastly, godly men know your full potential in Christ, right? And use it for the glory, for His glory today and always. Know who you are in Christ, because who you are in Christ then impacts your kids who are looking at you as the priest of the home. Amen? I close with this. Happy Father's Day from Alpha and Omega to all you here and all those in Cyberland, social media. Happy Father's Day as well, and may God continue to bless you all in today's day. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today's word, Lord, which is just a reminder, Father, of who we are in Christ, Lord. Father, if we have forsaken our role as a father, or we have been absent in that role, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us. But that from this day forward, Lord, may we now be present in our home, Lord, seeing to our children's need, becoming that godly example that our children need so desperately in today's world, Lord. We ask you, Father, to continue blessing our lives, to giving us that knowledge, O Lord, of who we are, our responsibility in you, Lord, so that we may truly become those devastating weapons in your hands, Lord. Thank you, Lord, once again for this message, Lord. And please extend an additional blessing to all the fathers here today, Lord. Because all this we ask in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.